tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Oh my goodness, it's Van Halen!
New song this week.
I love it. The episode's called Now, the song is Right Now. We're here right now, this is exciting.
It is, it's very exciting.
Do you guys love Van Halen as much as I do?
I'm going to be honest and say no.
To be fair, I also don't know how much you love Van Halen, so I'll go with maybe.
That's right. That's a good way to go about this.
Like, no joke, I seriously considered just recently going and singing at the Hollywood Bowl like a month ago, and this song would be in the top three reasons I was going to go.
Nice.
Yeah, love Right Now.
I think that's reasonable.
I used to, like, know how to play the piano part, so that I can't play piano, so it was like two fingers. It was like...
You were actually playing chopsticks, to be fair. Nobody wanted to tell you.
It looked like.
It's okay.
That's cute.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, we're not here for Van Halen.
This is the AfterBuzz TV, AfterBuzz TV Walking Dead After Show.
It is.
Streaming live, thanks to internet leader Akamai.
Yeah. Thank you, Akamai.
I'm your host, Ben Bateman, joined today by lovely co-hosts on my left here. We have Mr. John Carl.
Hey, guys. How are you?
John, you look a little tired today.
Yeah, I am. I'm a little tired.
No offense.
No. If anybody's been following me on Twitter and anything else on social media, I've been doing the Extra Life charity, which is 24 hours of video game live streaming over the course of this weekend.
24 hours?
I'm at 21 and a half hours right now.
That's cool.
So when I leave here, I go home and I know this is the most first world problem ever. I have to go home and play video games for 3.5 more hours before I go to bed. But what was fantastic is right as I got to the studio tonight, I got the notification that the donation drive that I've been promoting out has already gotten $1,000 in donations. So that's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. Wow. So we could donate right now.
Yes. It's extra-life.org/participant/whiskey-and-waffles. It'll be in the links and up on the screen and stuff like that.
Nice.
So thank you for everybody who's helped donate to that. But
you're a millennial, so you play video games. That's what you need to donate. I love it.
I'm only a millennial by 1 year. That's the scary part.
Okay, fair enough.
It's all good.
But more lovelies. Cool. You were saying lovely, guys.
You're both lovely. Yeah. And we have my other lovely co-host, Miss Joyce Ajuri. Welcome.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad to be back this week, and I can't top that. That sounds like some really cool news. But if you want news about my life, you can catch me on Twitter at jajuri. Things in the lower third, so check it out.
John, just in case, where can people find you if they just want to follow you and not donate?
At the John Carl.
All right, very good. And you guys can follow me at Ben Bateman Media if you care to follow. So this is episode 5 of season 6 titled Now, which is why we were playing the song Right Now by Van Halen.
Yeah.
You guys also needed to wake me up, too. So.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That song just gets me going.
There should be coffee in here.
Take control.
It's actually vodka.
So before we get into the episode, guys, we're going to recap everything, but you should remember that we are on iTunes and we are also streaming on YouTube. And, you know, we love to do this show, and it helps to continue to do the show if we get ratings and reviews because it helps keep the lights on and we cannot do the show in the dark.
Like, share, favorite, subscribe on YouTube.
Yes, please do.
All that good stuff. Yep. Make you a good deed for the day.
And if you guys want to follow along and, like, tweet at us or be in the live chat, anything like that, you can hit us up at #ABTVTWD. That is the official hashtag of this after show.
Yeah.
Lastly, we said it last week, but we will say spoiler alert if we ever talk about the comic books, just as an aside, because it was an issue at the beginning of the season for me personally. Otherwise, try to completely avoid the subject. So anybody who's concerned about that, don't be concerned about that. Let's get into the episode, guys.
Yes, I think we should get in.
Let's do it.
Maybe start with the weaselly and ever handsome Spencer and his mother, Deanna.
Oh, Spencer. He surprised me this episode because we know that his brother was like the jerk.
Right. His brother was the jerk.
His brother was the jerk. And I was convinced that Spencer was different. I mean, I still think he is, and I think he was overcome with everything that was going on in this episode. But he was basically a repeat of his brother.
Yeah, he's becoming Aiden.
Yeah, he's becoming Aiden. And maybe the alcohol did that. Maybe he's not always like that.
Right.
But I felt so bad for Deanna because she was getting, like, her hopes up, and then this happened with Spencer, so.
Yeah, right. They had that great moment in the food bank, and, Olivia's trying to keep people from going in, and he's actually the voice of reason. Like, look, we can make it through this. We've made it up to this point, and this would be the point where we look back and we saw this is where it all ended. And that's a great motivating moment. And then you cut to the glass breaking in the kitchen, and she instantly knows. She goes, are you drunk?
He's wasted eating bread.
He does a really good drunk voice, by the way.
Yeah, he was convincing, for sure.
Yeah, back in the bartending days, I definitely would have had to cut that guy off.
I feel like, is it bad that I'm watching this and I'm just like, you're here to make us like you and then love to hate you, and then you're going to cause conflict with Rick because you're handsome and you're like a male lead, and then eventually you're going to lose because Rick's the main character. That's like I'm like watching this and I'm just like, I can't see another way this ends.
Well, at the end of the episode.
We can talk about that later. Yeah.
We have a theory.
A little theory. But I feel like Spencer, I think he was okay up until this point.
Right.
I feel like he was as optimistic as, you know, Deanna is now.
Yep.
But, I mean, something snapped. I don't know. I didn't see it ending well for him.
And you're also seeing the up and down with him. Like, you know, when the episode starts out, he's on this high note of rah-rah, everybody get back and we can make it through, to being wasted. And then he actually looks like he's sobered up by the time that he goes to relieve Rosita on the wall. Like, I mean, he's a big dude, so he probably has way better tolerance than any of us do. But, I mean, he was holding himself pretty together at that point.
Right.
He still had, like, you know, the kind of, like, dick move of, like, I still got my crackers kind of thing.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, okay, maybe that argument with his mother straightened about a little bit is how it felt at that time, at least.
Like, maybe he felt guilty afterwards. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think his spiel at the pantry, he was feeling guilty because they were talking about how he was at the gate or,
yeah,
you know. But he also felt a sort of redemption because he shot the guy in the truck.
Yeah.
But I think his guilt overall, like, took over and just...
Yeah.
Know. Yeah, the thing is, with the gate and everything like that, the wolves that got in got it.
Yeah.
But he stopped the gate from being destroyed. And
right.
Had he not done that, the half of this herd that made it through, that whole town would have been overrun. And literally everyone would have been dead, as opposed to the few people that got killed by the wolves.
Here's a question for you guys. And this will be the first poll we throw out to the audience. Okay, so you're standing around the pantry, and you see everybody in there. It's like, we're going to hoard the food right now. You know, we're all going to be dead tomorrow anyway. So you go back later, and you steal an item. Five items. You got whiskey. You got bread, which is, in theory, frozen. Right? It has to have been frozen, because otherwise it would be so stale at this point, right?
I would hope so.
Well, I mean, people are baking. Like, Carol's making cookies, so they could
just bake bread.
Assigning people to make bread.
So say whiskey, bread, some sort of, like, savory, like a canned item, like maybe like beans or chili or something like that. Okay, maybe a candy bar, something like a Snickers, something like that probably that keeps.
Right.
And then should we say, like, one more? What are we forgetting? Like, what's one more thing? Maybe, like, some sort of smoked meat?
You had me at whiskey.
What do you guys take if those are your five options? Fans, we got smoked meat, savory canned food, bread, whiskey, or the other one I said.
I would definitely take some form of alcohol.
Yeah.
I would definitely take the smoked meat because I love smoked meat.
But you only get to take one. You only get to take one.
The whiskey.
Well,
I mean, my channel's called Whiskey and Waffles. How do I not take
the
whiskey?
Yeah, you got to promote your channel.
Because they don't have waffles left there.
I go smoked meat. If I go to a gas station, I have such a hard time, like, checking out and not just, like, doing the Dumb and Dumber move and, like, grabbing a bunch of pepperoni sticks. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, like, I don't know.
No,
I struggle.
I love those. I think I'd take those, too.
Any fan comments? Anybody want to know?
Nothing yet with regard to what we've talked about so far.
No one cares about pepperoni sticks and whiskey. Get back to the episode.
Not yet.
Okay, so Deanna, let's jump over to her a little bit. So Deanna's she's starting to kind of lose her mind, and then she comes back around. Looks like she's sort of like, Rick, you're better fit to lead these people. And then she has a moment at the end of the episode. I didn't really get the whole, let's be as quiet as possible, and then there's a scene where Rick's like, okay, target practice, into these zombies, fire
this
gun. Well,
the horde's already there.
He also didn't pull the trigger.
Right.
So, I mean, you could argue as to what happened off camera with that, but I feel like at that time, if a bullet went off, it would have been one of those moments where you would have seen somebody in the town trying to get back to normalcy, and then all of a sudden there's that crack and everybody freaks out again.
Yeah.
So I don't think he shot it.
We would have seen a reaction from somebody, or we would have heard it in the distance for sure.
Exactly.
So maybe that's true. Maybe he was like, did he take the bullet out when he did it?
I mean, he got a bunch of the bullets out, but I didn't count the number of them, so I don't know if he got all six out of the shooter. So.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. So Deanna, at the end, obviously you have the cliffhanger moment.
Well, let's talk about Deanna earlier, where, you know, she's quiet, she started to lose it, she goes through all this with her son, and then you get to the moment where she's returning her son's mistake.
Right.
And there's the one wolf that was not accounted for, and it was actually really shocking to me, with everything she has heard from Rick and all these people, that her instinct was still to stab the chest.
Dude, she hasn't had to kill any zombie yet.
No, not yet.
Never.
So I think even if you know what you're supposed to do and you know a headshot is what you need to go for, I mean, not only was she shorter, so going for the head was going to be difficult, she was really just trying to sort of fend him off at first. But I think in that moment, she's probably not really thinking clearly. She's sort of just like, I'm going to kill this thing.
Well, she also realized it was a wolf, because she wouldn't have said, you son of a bitch, to it if it had been one of the people from the town. Like, that was her getting anger out at that point. And she's... all that she's had to deal with, losing one son, losing her husband, that was the first time she really, really had to deal or had a chance to let it all out.
She had to fend for herself. No. Did that moment happen before or after she was, like, drawing up some new plans?
I think after.
It happened after?
Because the new plans moment...
Yeah, it was after, because we looked up the what that phrase meant.
Oh, that's true.
The new plans moment to me was a little bit of like a plot device to move us forward in regards to like the way she's thinking, but also a little bit like corny. Like, I'd sort of had a, I guess it's because she saw the ring and she thought of Reg, and that was all his dream, right? So mm-hmm. She had the moment where she was like, I want to finish his dream. If we're going to live, we're going to live and live the right way, kind of a thing.
Yep. And what was the translation? Because she wrote a Latin phrase and we looked it up.
So it's, I'm pronouncing it wrong, I'm sure, but it's dolor hic tibi proderit olim, and it means be patient and tough. Someday this pain will be useful to you.
Gotcha.
So she's using her anger to move forward with this.
To drive herself forward.
And I feel like in this episode, at least for me, I was kept guessing as to where she stands. Because first, she was in this, like, haze in the beginning. And she was walking around sort of dazed and confused. And then she had that, you know, look at her son when he was talking in the pantry. Like, oh, there's hope. Like, my son, he's validating what I want to do.
Right.
And then we had the moment where she's, like, stabbing the zombie, and I thought that was it for her. Like, she was done, not dead, but just over it.
Do you guys think a glass, like if you have the thing and it would hold together that well, stabbing someone? Like,
okay, this is gonna make me sound like a psychopath.
Yeah, their flesh is soft.
It depends what bottle it was, because there's really no. Because when I used to bartend, I used to flip bottles.
Yeah,
and there were times when I'd flip a bottle, and if it was like well whiskey or well vodka or something like that, it would break and it would just shatter into a million pieces. That looked like a good bottle. That looked like the strength of, like, I don't know, like a Belvedere bottle or something. Okay. I think you could do some damage with that. Not a Kettle One bottle, though.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's cheap for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
packaging.
So Deanna goes nuts and she kills this, well, she attempts to kill this wolf. Mm-hmm. I do want to talk about, A, the moment Spencer has right at the end with Rosita. And then I also do want to talk about her and hitting the wall. So you see some blood start to seep through there.
Yeah, that was what we
were. We thought it was seeping through.
Initially. Yeah, it looked like it was seeping through, and then we went back and rewinded it a few times, and it's definitely dripping from the top. Yeah.
Because I was trying to figure out how it would be coming through.
To us, it's coming from the top, and the only one that's up top is Spence.
And she doesn't know that Spencer's up there, it seems like. I mean, otherwise she would have, like, said hi to him or something.
Yeah, because, actually, the lookout post is right by the gate. And you would imagine if he was up there, he would have seen his mom touching the gate, ticking off the walkers, but there was nothing there said at all, regardless of who was on lookout. She's already in such a daze, she's not paying attention to who's up there.
Interesting. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, needless to say...
I peeked him out.
Needless to say, we think Spencer's dead.
Yeah, we think he's gone.
Yeah, we think he offed himself.
Wow. You think he killed himself?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But, you know...
Crazy.
Who knows?
That's a big prediction to make. I would not have seen that plot line. I sort of figured, like, they usually, when you give, like, a moment like that, like, he and Rosita, I was sort of like, oh, okay, like, they're, like, planting a seed, like, sort of, but maybe
like,
not.
Like, relationship-wise?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be on the line, but you just start to plant that seed of him, like, maybe getting, like, a good-looking female who's, like, his sort of, like, you know, making an alliance a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. Something like that, you already had an instance in this episode specifically where it was shown that somebody killed themselves when Jesse goes by that house. And it was obvious that woman had killed herself. She was not a victim of the wolves and stuff like that. It was definitely risk
for herself, for sure.
So is he up there hurting himself or did he kill himself? Because either one could happen, because this guy feels guilt over everything that went down. So you know, maybe that's just him bleeding because he wants to feel pain, or he's gone. But I don't think there's any way that that was not his blood.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay, crazy. I didn't see that coming. We will get there. We should continue moving through because we have a few other plot lines we want to hit. So I think we should jump forward to talk about Maggie and Aaron.
Yeah.
So we open the episode up and you hear Michonne explaining to Maggie that Glenn is, you know, has not come back. He was going to fire off a signal. No signal was found. And Aaron, Eric is still out there? Is that what's going on? Or is Eric dead? Where is Eric? I haven't seen him for a while.
I think he's still there.
I think so.
I just haven't seen him in forever, I feel like. I seem to remember during the attack when the wolves came into town, he had to kill a guy, a walker that looked like Eric, but I don't think it was Eric, because that would have been a bigger moment. It's just strange that we didn't see him this episode. I don't know who he would be with out on the path.
I don't know.
Right?
I'm not sure. I do think Eric is still alive, though. I feel like it would have been a bigger moment, though.
If we missed Eric and somebody watching this, can somebody just let us know if he died and we missed it, or if he's supposed to be somewhere that we're not realizing, or he's just a quiet character in the town? It's funny, too, because...
Yeah. Well, I mean, for a while, Aaron was quiet, and, like, we didn't see him for most of the stuff until this, you know, past two episodes. So.
Eric is listed as the last credit in the episode guide for this. Hmm. If you click up this episode on IMDb, the actor that plays Eric is at the very end. And I didn't see him in this episode, but maybe he's in the background and I just missed him.
He might have been.
The background in the big speech at the wall.
Or something like that. Yeah. So Aaron decides to go out with Maggie because he feels guilt over the fact that in the trap that was set for he and Daryl, they got his backpack, found the place in the wolves. The wolves found the bag and came and attacked the city.
Mm-hmm. By the way, as sucky as it is that, like, he feels the guilt, I respect his character even more that he came forward and he was like, look, I'm the reason why my bag was found by the wolves.
Because a lot of people at that point are, like, ready to point fingers at Rick, and Rick is just trying to, like, motivate people. But there's still that distrust of Rick and his group versus, you know, the people who've already been there. And he's like, look, the reason we got attacked isn't something that Rick and his group did. It came internal from us.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think he's one of my favorite characters, Aaron, now. I think he's sort of grown into it.
I love him. And I love Ross Marquand. He's awesome.
Yeah. Is that the actor?
Yeah. He's so great.
Yeah. He does a really good job with the character. I think, like, generally speaking, his scenes, I tend to feel there's a weirdness to his character. Like, especially when you first meet him a couple seasons ago, I think it is, at least one, maybe two, where he's so over-friendly, you don't trust him at all.
Yeah. But I remember feeling that way last season, for sure.
He's really kept that tone, though, that overly nice tone, and it works for him. That's just who he is, which is really cool, and I enjoy the character a lot for that reason.
I think he's an uncomfortable person in an uncomfortable situation, and he just makes up for it by being so nice, because he doesn't know what else to do. Some people would shut down. He's like... It's almost the kill him with kindness method, where it's like, this is all I have because I have to keep myself up too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he and Maggie are starting to form sort of a bond because she's going to go after Glenn. He walks into the armor. She's getting her stuff together and she's like, you can't stop me. And he's like, no, I'm going to help you. So they get out of there after they arm themselves to go through this, like, storm drain, right? They encounter a couple walkers. And then there's this moment, which kind of annoyed me. These are moments, like, in this, there's a few moments that happen in this show where, like, and I love this show to death.
We know exactly what you're going to say.
Love it. Yeah.
But it's the whole, like, I don't need you. And he's like, but now I'll save you. And it's like, so you did need me. It all comes full circle in 5 minutes. And
but
you're just like.
The fact that Maggie needed him was the annoying
part. Out of character for her.
Yeah, because she's like a stone cold badass.
Mm-hmm. And I was, because we watched it separately. Let's just put it out there.
Yeah, we watched it together.
John and I watched it. You watched it separately from us. When we were watching it, I was thinking maybe the way they would justify her not being able to immediately kill that walker was that he was too slippery and his skin was, like, you know,
that,
like,
cool moment where the skin
melting
peels off.
Like, it was freaking nasty.
Yeah.
And so I feel like their justification, and maybe my own justification, is, like, she just couldn't get a grip on anything enough to, like, get him in the head.
She didn't swing first, though. She let herself get backed into the wall, and that part irked me. And that kind of goes back to last week's episode where Eastman made a move that was not indicative of his personality when he put his back between him and Morgan and the walker. Like, that just felt contrived to me.
Yeah.
And it, like, yeah, I get why it happened, but...
Or, here's another justification, pregnancy brain.
Right. Mm. Don't you guys feel like, would you have found it to be more effective had the same situation happened, but she actually saved Aaron, and then Aaron looks at her and says something like, it's going to happen to all of us sometime, doesn't mean I can't still help, or something like that? I would have totally been way more like, Yeah, totally. Exactly. Maybe. It doesn't mean that she needs you. It doesn't mean that you need her. You're both just trying to survive. And eventually, one of you will probably get eaten by a zombie because that's just the way it works in the world.
Yeah.
And you're going to need someone to save you. It doesn't mean you're any less or more capable. You don't need to give us this, like, spoon-fed, she needed his help, so it's a good thing you came along.
Like, I don't think I would have had a problem with it being, like, she actually tripped or something like that. It was just really just... She wasn't even swinging or like trying to push through until he was right up on her. That was the only part I had a problem
with. That's true.
Yeah. As far as just like the whole idea of like, yes, she does need him, I'm okay with that being spoon-fed to me. It was just how they went about it that just felt a little weird.
Yeah.
So they keep walking after the two walkers get killed. He gets banged in the head and she's like, go back. And I believe it's – what was there a line? The more – no. Why? Nope. I can't even see. Can't read my own writing. Anyway, they keep walking down the sewer, and then they get to like the bars.
They get to the gate, yeah.
And she's like, "We're too close, still. We can't get out." And she then is that the first time that she's admitted she's pregnant in the show?
Yeah,
yes.
That's
right?
The first time it's actually been confirmed. I mean, we had suspicions when Kristen was on the show. Mm-hmm. We talked about how we realized that Glenn told her to stay because, and like the sentence trailed off, and we figured it was because she was pregnant. And
right.
Going to announce that at some point. So yeah.
And she starts to sort of let him go. But more and more, I just don't think he's dead. I just don't really get it.
You know, I was sold on the idea that he was when it happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, hearing things from you guys, you know, tweeting at us and justifying why he shouldn't be dead or why he's not dead got me thinking. And then also just not wanting him to die. I'm just like, maybe he's not dead.
Well, the thing...
I can take that.
That week, because I didn't watch it with you guys, that was my off week for the show, I actually ended up watching it the next day, which of course meant that within, you know, 45 minutes of the episode being over, it was entirely spoiled for me. So for me, I was watching it almost in the same way that Game of Thrones fans who read the books were just waiting to see how the Red Wedding went down.
Yeah.
That was me waiting to see how it went down with Glenn.
Yep.
All I heard was he was dead. Or was he dead? And then I was expecting like a bullet to the head or something like that. With
something
Nicholas.
Obvious.
But then the way that it happened, when you're looking at it with that preconceived notion, it definitely looked like it was shot to be ambiguous, not definitively dead. But
Well, and then there's that whole thing we talked about before with Scott Gimple confirming that this whole season is supposed to happen, or at least the first half of the season is supposed to happen in one day. Mm-hmm. So we still, again, we don't know. It's very possible that he got bitten. He'll find his way back bitten or something. We don't really know. Sequentially, this episode, the way they're telling this story is a little confusing, I think. I don't really know what the logic behind doing it the way they are is. Like, for instance, we'll get to Rick in just a minute, but the fact that Rick runs back in, and this is after we saw him in this horrible...
Like stuck in the trailer.
Yeah, tenuous moment where he's stuck in the trailer surrounded by walkers with his cut hand. And then, like, he runs back in the city, and his hand is fine. It's just, like, bandaged up. He, like, doesn't even make reference to it. Like, it doesn't come up in the whole rest of the episode. And he somehow just found his way back. There's just nothing's happened. We don't know what happened. But when they do show us that whole experience now, aren't you guys going to feel a little let down just knowing?
I mean, this season has played with the way they're using time as a plot device.
Right, 100%.
I mean, last week especially with the Morgan-Eastman interaction and everything like that, you know, time is a big factor. And even when they were talking about how the herd broke free and they were flashing back to as they were displaying the plan and everything like that. So I think they're doing it on a larger plot device. Like we were even talking, I think part of the reason why some of us had an issue with last week's episode was because it felt out of place.
Yeah.
Especially with this week being another epilogue-style episode. But it also makes sense in context because we can't just say you could have shown that later because the conversation with Morgan and the wolf from last week would not have made sense happening 3 or 4 days later because we don't even know if they're going to get to 3 or 4 days later right now. That it did need to happen. So
That's true.
I'm curious to see from a storytelling perspective how it's all going to pan out. And I think there's going to be more flashbacks because, you know, look at Abraham and Daryl and
right.
Sasha. In theory, they should be back by now.
Yeah.
So what is next week using to play with that same time frame?
Because next week it looks like we're going to get their story.
Yeah.
What's going on with them?
Yep. I feel like this will be a season where once it's out like on Netflix or something and we watch it all at once or marathon, it'll make way more sense or it'll be a lot less jarring.
I can't do any more marathons.
I don't know. Like Pulp Fiction style storytelling, for lack of a better phrase, I think can be very effective, and I think at other times can be unnecessarily confusing, sort of like dubious almost. And this one, for me, as somebody who really wants I want to end every episode feeling like that was awesome. Kind of the way that we ended the first three, I guess, of this season. Mm-hmm. Is that right? One was the...
Yeah, the first three.
One was incredible. Two was the massacre. And three was the Glenn episode.
Yes.
So all three of those were just like, oh my goodness, this is the best season of Walking Dead ever. And then the last two have been sort of underwhelming, just in the sense that I didn't feel like the... I didn't have the same satisfaction. So I guess if they're trying to use this plot device to move time around, I think what you're saying does make sense. It'll play better.
But I also can't imagine that they don't put into consideration the way people talk about the show because of the way it's laid out. So people are still going to wonder what happened to Glenn. People are still just like we're doing. So I think it's smart on the writer's part for the way they're using time and also for how they're keeping their audience abuzz.
Yeah, and one thing that the commenters and YouTube have said is and I respect the criticism on it, is not every single week could be action packed.
Right,
and I do get that. It just from an up and down, you know, hill and valley perspective, it was weird to see two episodes in a row that felt like calmer episodes. That was the only thing I had.
Hopefully next week. I guess the reason I brought it up is because I started thinking about next week, and we're going to get more action on the road, but sort of less resolution of the main conflict that we've been dealing with. Mm-hmm. It's going to be seeing. I don't know. We'll see. I love it. I'm still looking forward to it.
But if you look at
this week's episode, it actually started calmer and slowly did build. Like you had the moment with Jesse and the woman who killed herself. Then you had Deanne, and then you have like the oh wait, whose blood is that moment? Which, like we said, we're predicting is Spencer, but it did get these high points that are more just building up attention again, because I think the biggest thing that this show sometimes can fall into, and as an audience we fall into it too, is everything is action packed, and there's actually no suspense. It's just, you know, becomes a checklist of who's dying next.
Yeah. So. True. Agreed. So
also in this episode, speaking of Aaron, I turned to Joyce and I was like, oh, there's no way he's surviving the end of this episode. And they proved me wrong.
Yeah, but we thought he was going to die.
Yeah, but the second that he's like, no, it's okay, I'm still going with you, I was like, oh, you're totally dying as soon as you get to the gate. And then they hit us with the pregnancy out and nowhere for me, because I don't pick up on when girls say things.
Fair enough. No. We have a couple more plot lines we need to touch on. So one that there's two that I want to get to before we talk about Rick and Jesse. So the first one I think we should probably reference is Denise and Tara, right? Mm-hmm. So a kind of a subplot line that's been going on that I didn't really see coming, and that it takes you – I feel like it kind of just happens by surprise at the end.
And for a little bit during the show, John and I were confused as to
Denise and Olivia look
so much alike. So we're like, was Denise also in charge of the No, they're two different people.
They're two different people. It's funny, in the comics, it's like the same thing. Like, you confuse the two the same way.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, just kidding. So Merritt Weaver, who plays Denise, funnily enough, there's a movie called Michael Clayton from 2007. It's like I think it's 07. But anyways, it's one of my favorite movies. I've seen it like a million times. And Merritt Weaver's in it, and she plays like a teenager, essentially. And I spent the whole episode tonight trying to figure out why I knew who she was and where I recognized her from, and then it hit me at the end. But, this show has this thing that they do where anytime they give you emotion from a character, anytime that you're made to feel about a character in a way, like, it's basically like you're just waiting for the gavel to come down on which of them is going to die. Mm. So I just am sort of like, okay, romance, how long is it going to last? What's going to come of this?
And of course, it'll be the person we need, which is a doctor.
Yes, exactly.
I kind of liked it, though, because, you know, it's really easy in a tense situation to start shacking up with somebody.
Uh-huh.
And because Tara's on the lesbian side of the spectrum, whether she's bi or lesbian or whatever, she doesn't have as many options because the majority of characters seem to be straight.
Right.
So if she has the opportunity, why would they not jump to each other?
Yeah.
Agreed. And what's it? It's cool. It's not cool to be scared. It's okay to be scared. What's her line? Being scared sucks?
Yeah, being scared sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is sort of nice when you throw in sort of like an innocuous romance like that of sub-characters, because now you have a little more reason to care about them on the peripherals because they're not main characters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was okay with it. I thought, like, I didn't feel like it was a plot device as much as I was like, this is good. It gives me a little more reason to care about two characters I wouldn't have otherwise paid as much attention to.
And it gives each other a reason to fight for, you know, their lives, basically.
As you said, though, Denise is far more important as a character because she's a doctor. So there will be like real, you know,
implications if she goes
100%.
Yeah, totally.
So let's jump to Carl and Ron. Mm-hmm. We can just have a quick powwow about this
teen angst.
So Enid is gone. I think Ron is up to no good, is what it seems like.
I don't trust him after this episode. I mean, I know we're going to get to it, but he needs to learn how to shoot, right? And the whole time he was asking Rick for help on that, I kept thinking he's going to turn that gun on Rick. Something's going to happen. Like, this kid is trouble. It didn't happen this episode, but I think he's going to attempt to do something like that.
So I'm hoping it's the latter versus the former of this. I'm not sure if he's a really bad actor or he's just really good at being insincere. And I'm hoping he's good at being insincere.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, God, it's like it's either painful or you're doing this just so you're just a prick, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking tonight about that. So one of the major criticisms of the show that you'll hear from critics, and especially in the earlier seasons, is people will say the show is not known for its good acting. They'll say that the storytelling's great, but sometimes people have a real problem with some of the actors.
I disagree.
Yeah, and some of the actors I think do great. I don't even have a lot that I have a big problem with, but I started to think tonight, like, imagine the world ended, guys, and imagine you were in these untenable situations with intense personalities, some of whom are like really good socially and are good at articulating their thoughts, and some of whom are terrible communicators, some of whom probably aren't that smart, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. You would probably find yourself in a situation where if it was like the reality TV version of Zombie Apocalypse, you would look like people are like, is he being serious?
Yeah.
Or like, is she scared? Like, is she being sarcastic? What the hell? Because like, and in some ways, when some of the actors seem like they're doing a bad job, it's almost better. Because that's like what real people in real life in a situation like this probably would be going through, is these emotionally charged situations with ridiculous stakes. Like, if we screw up, I'm just going to be torn apart.
Yeah.
And that's also, you can't say the actors are bad, because when Michael was here in week one, he totally had me fooled that his character was going down the right path and not going to be like the ultimate jerk of the season.
Oh, yeah.
So, He acted very well in front of us in person.
Interesting, yeah. I wish I'd been here for that episode. So bummed I missed it.
But I feel like Ron is going to have his time to mess with both Carl and Rick.
Yeah.
My guess, I'm getting to prediction territory, my guess would be he's going to mess with Carl a little bit more, and Carl's going to be the one to, like, I don't know, go out there because Ron convinced him somehow to go find Enid or, you know, yeah. Maybe he's lying about his dad being out there looking for him or something. Well, I don't know. He's going to do something to twist them apart.
Taking out Carl accomplishes two goals. Because you somehow do something that gets the kid killed. You cause pain to the father who killed your own dad. It's a two-bird, one-stone scenario.
I'm going
to
throw...
I think that's his ultimate plan.
So, spoiler alert. This is not even really a spoiler, but I'm going to say it anyway. Spoiler alert, 100%. I'm going to reference the comic books right now.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
So, Carl, as we've talked about before on this show, I think some people think this is his show, right? It's like his story, kind of. And I have to say that somewhere in the comics, like, there's a transition that happens with this character where he goes from being kind of obnoxious and, like, just, like, the son to being, like, a real character who you really kind of are, like, this character's kind of sweet. Like, this is kind of good. Like, I kind of trust he's actually a badass and he's battle-hardened, and I just think – I kind of trust that he would take care of himself in any situation. And I'm wondering when in the show we're going to get that, because I get the feeling any one of these powder keg moments, like, getting pushed – where it's like he's been in the world and this kid hasn't. And this kid's got a knife and it's like, what, the kid turns a knife on him? Carl wouldn't just take the knife and stab him?
Carl's been shot, to be clear. He's been shot and he's still, he's going out there and he badasses people.
Anyways, he gets it.
Consider the spoiler over. I do think it's interesting and I'm waiting for that to happen.
I love how Ron straight up talked about, like, a lot of the things that I know I've talked about with my friends about the show, when Carl used to just run off, you know, and like walk out and we'd be like, watch your son. Like, Carl, what are you doing? So I love when Ron was like, we know what's going to happen. You're going to go out there. Your dad's going to freak out. He's going to go out there too. And someone else will. And someone's going to end up getting killed. I'm like, that's exactly what happened a bunch of times in previous seasons. And Ron just like dictated it. He nailed it.
It's funny too, right? Because he says the line earlier when he's like, you saved my life. Now I'm saving yours. When he says that, there's a part of you that goes, oh, are these guys going to maybe end up friends? I kind of believe him. Like, maybe this is like, in a worse show, that would be a moment where they like started to become friends. And then when he's talking to Rick, I'm like, I do not trust this kid at all. Like, not even a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into Rick and Jesse, because I think this is pretty important.
We called this last season when we were doing the after show for it.
Rick and Jesse?
Yeah. Like, the literally the first episode she popped in on, we were just debating when it would happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think so, right? She's a pretty female lead who, like, has some chemistry with Rick from, like, the second they
and
talk to each other.
A shitty husband.
Yeah, I think that
goes... A crappy dead husband.
Bad taste in arm tattoos, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
pretty
Let's
clear.
Be real.
Oh, does she have an arm tattoo?
Yeah.
The owl.
She has the owl?
Yeah.
Does the actress have it, I wonder? Or is it
real?
I don't know. It was enough that they had a metal owl that got, you know, destroyed by her shitty husband at
Maybe
the time.
Maybe she's very wise.
Interesting. I wonder if that's a character choice.
We don't know yet.
Or if they chose the actress and she had the tattoo and they're like, we'll just
make it work.
We'll make it a thing. So it ends up with them making out in the garage, right? And I was like, don't pull away and have Ron standing there. Don't do it. And they didn't, thank God.
Yeah.
Before we talk about that, we should probably mention her other son. So not Ron, the younger son.
Oh my God, his name escapes me again.
Oh God.
Why does this always happen?
Well, it's confusing because anyway, doesn't matter.
Shoot.
The younger son's name. God, this is like the only character I can remember.
Anyway,
she makes some cookies and he doesn't want to come down and they're like, so Ron seems to matter and the other son doesn't seem to matter. They seem to sort of like, she's got two kids and you have to think that if like, in my predictions, which we'll get to in a second, I think like it's going to go like real haywire in the town. Mm-hmm. And I have to think one of them is going to go and it'll probably be the younger one. Like I just can't imagine another scenario. I guess they could just both or maybe she will.
The younger son's story revolves more around Carol still. Like, yeah, all the stuff that has recently gone down, but like his major interaction on the show hasn't been with his mom, his dad, or his brother. It's been with Carol.
That's true.
So I think, you know, not to get into spoiler prediction territory, anything that's going to happen with him that means something moving forward is somehow going to involve Carol.
Carol, yeah.
It'll probably be her character doing what she wished she could have done with her daughter back in the day. Like, in terms of protecting him and making sure he's okay.
Something like that, yeah. Because she's had a strange relationship to him. But so anyway, yeah, his scene was like, not really sure what the point was. What was supposed to feed us or
this
what,
kid's broken.
Yeah, something. But so
that's I think that's what it is like other people are trying to get to being able to deal with what's going on outside and pretend that it's not in a way.
Yeah.
And you know, even with Jesse's speech at the door and stuff like that, people are like, you guys got to accept this and figure out how to live with it. And he obviously can't because he won't even go down a flight of stairs.
I mean, he still doesn't know what's going on. No. He has no idea what's happening out there.
She is the ultimate example, though, to me, Jesse, of when we talk about making us care about characters that we're eventually going to have to – we're going to lose, that it's going to like make an impact. To me, she's like – she is public enemy number one for that. Like you're giving Rick someone to care about. You're giving us a half season or a full season to care about her.
Mm-hmm.
I just – like 100%. That's – that. I'll say it again in my prediction. But anyway, they start – I guess earlier she has her scene where she delivers her speech to the people after she kills the walker that had committed suicide.
Yep.
And so we're supposed to sort of believe she's coming around. She's getting it. She's going to sort of lead the charge a little bit to get these people rallied, which it looks like they're going to need to rally.
Yeah.
Because – unless – actually, you guys think that's just Spencer is just dead.
Yeah.
That not that the walkers are getting through the wall yet. But I think inevitably they're going to get through the wall.
It's he's dead or he slit his wrist. But, I mean, if he is dead, there's almost the irony of – him supposed to be the one on lookout, they end up getting through, and what he accomplished by saving them when he killed the truck driver, when he kills himself, that ends up letting everybody in there anyway.
So
his efforts went in vain.
Or he'll be a walker and like fall over the wall and like get somebody in the middle of the night, and then there'll be like three or four walkers, and like the city will just get overrun or something. I don't know. That seems a little less likely. But
although one thing that did feel a little bit weird, they mentioned the. You know, because talking about a walker within the side of the wall, Deanna's attack, they're like, oh yeah, Carol had the one walker the one wolf that she couldn't find. It's like, I feel like that's something that should have been like knowledge that people would have been like a little bit more on guard about.
Right.
Like, oh, there's one wolf we can't find that she knows she killed him. Maybe we should have a count of this and try to figure out where he would have been.
That's true. I didn't even think about that.
I feel like Carol, at the very least, would have been the level-headed one of, like, going onto doors and being like, there's one more. We don't know where he is. Stay inside and watch out.
Yeah, let's all just go to sleep and play in the garden.
I was so bummed not to see Carol tonight.
Yeah, she's such a good character. Yeah. Love Carol.
But in episode 7, she'll have a major badass moment to
make
up for it.
I'm sure.
So
yeah,
true.
100%. I guess Rick, aside from his moment with Jesse, which was sort of inevitable. I think we all saw that. His hand is something that should be referenced because it seemed to be fine. They kind of led us to believe. And then how the hell did he get back from the From the
camper.
We'll
find out. Well,
then, I know, but like...
That's how they've been doing... I mean, everything's been from different perspectives in terms of the story that... The stories that they're telling from each person, but...
The lost time, I think, is going to be a plot device. And, again, I saw it differently than you guys did because I didn't watch it with the group. The hand didn't seem as big of a deal to me when I saw it happen.
Yeah.
Okay. So... Well, yeah. I just feel like they concentrated so much on it when he was in the trailer. Like,
yeah, they really tried to...
He seemed really distraught and worried, but it might not be a big deal. It might just be a scratch.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I sort of just... I want to see that episode. I wonder if we're going to have to wait until the back half of the season to really get the payoff. Like, or not the back half of the season, but I wonder if, like, there's three episodes left in 2015. So I sort of wonder if episode 7 or episode 8... We'll just get all the fill-in. What happened to Glenn? How did Rick get out of the trailer? And, like, just basically everything that everyone wants since episode 3, they'll give it to us in, like, episode 8 or something like that. I don't know.
Can't wait.
I think that pretty much wraps it up. Unless there's anything else you guys want to reference.
I guess we didn't finish touching upon Deanna and the wall and everything. She was hitting the wall, right? And I just thought it was her, like... Her final moment thinking to herself, like, I'm going to live. I'm going to fight this. So it was kind of her, like, I'm going to get you assholes. Like, that kind of
Kind of a bring
notion.
It on moment.
Yeah, like a bring it on moment.
Here, you can't get me through this.
When
my husband built this.
Yeah. When she was walking away, I feel like she sort of had, like, this satisfied smile on her face.
Yeah.
Which would have changed if she saw blood dripping from above. But, you know, she was very, she seemed calculating and confident in what her plan was, or like she had confidence in Rick or what his plan's gonna be, so I think she's like ready to fight this.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Yeah.
Let's get into our predictions for sign off.
Yep.
Now for your AfterBuzz TV predictions. Woo!
There they are.
And now
sweet sound.
There it is. I could have done that. That was my voice, basically. I'll jump in first because I said it twice already, but I really think the number one thing is that I think that this front half of the season is going to culminate with, like, they're going to get in. Like, that's what I think somehow. I'm not quite sure how it's going to happen, but I get the feeling that there's going to be a gigantic exodus from the town or something like that. Just a gigantic conflict. Like, the zombies are going to get in. And I think that maybe we lose Jesse then. If it's not then, I think we're going to lose her at the end of the season, the full season. I just think, like, that's what's happening is, like, they're 100% being like, Jesse, care about Jesse. Rick needs to care about Jesse. And we're going to take Jesse from Rick, and he's just going to be one step crazier.
Well, do you guys know how many episodes she's been in so far? Because on IMDb, it says she's built for 21.
Definitely not 21 yet.
No.
Okay. Yeah. So she'll probably be around for a while. I hope she doesn't die.
Yeah.
But.
So that would mean if her last episode would be the end of this season, she would have had to be in on episode 3 of last season.
Okay.
So
is that really?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean of the front half of the season?
If she were in 21 episodes.
If she would have had to be in episode 3 or 4 of the front half of last season for her to hit 21 episodes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's only 8 for right now, 8 previous, and then going back on that. So
true.
She would have had to be episode 3 or 4.
But yeah, maybe the end of the season will be her demise.
I don't know. It might be later. I just that's what the feeling I'm getting when I'm watching this, more than any character. What do you guys got?
I do think something big is going to happen. I don't think it's going to take out Alexandria. I do think it's going to thin the herd of living people a lot. I think that's going to be the biggest thing that's going to happen. And I'm sticking to my guns that the return of Glenn is going to be like him popping up, whether or not he actually even does anything, but the literal last shot of the entire half season is Glenn alive.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm like I said before, I'm leaning more towards him being alive now, because now that Maggie's for sure pregnant, like, she's going to need someone there for her to help her settle down. Just like when Rick and Lori, you know, were trying to find a place to stay and live to make sure that her pregnancy carried a term and she had her baby. I feel like Maggie's going to need somebody close to her, like Glenn, to come back and be there for her while that happens. Because Rick is not going to do it. He's going to be busy leading the pack.
Yeah.
Eugene doesn't have a lot of stuff he's doing. He's
something.
I don't trust Eugene, okay? Not with my life and my baby's life.
Yeah.
If I were Maggie.
Fair enough.
Fair.
Eugene, my butt.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it. That's going to wrap it up for the AfterBuzz TV After Show on The Walking Dead. Guys, if the folks want to find you, I mean, aside from just being here next week to see us again, if they want to find you, where can they find you?
ahead.
At the John Carl on Instagram and Twitter.
And one more time, if they want to find your charity.
Also, it's on my Instagram, so that makes it easier. But it is www.extra-life.org/participant/whiskeyandwaffles.
Good luck with your 3.5 hours tonight. Joyce, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Jay Azuri. I have some behind-the-scenes stuff here on our panel before and after the show. And also find me on Tuesday night's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast here on AfterBuzz TV.
And if you guys want to find me, I will be here next week. My name is Ben Bateman. I am Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. And if you go to the Popcorn Talk Network, I talk about my favorite action movies on Wednesdays, streaming live at 12:30, Action Movie Anatomy, my favorite part of the week, aside from being here. I'll see you guys next week.
Bye!
Play save on that, being, you know, aside from being here.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.